Thank God. Please be seated. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ, before we come up to pray together, let's continue to study connected to the source. Let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 2. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 4. Then the king said to me, "What do you request?" So I prayed to the God of heaven. So we know Nehemiah, for sure he was connected to source. Because before he kneeled down to pray to God, his motivation to pray was love. Then the first thing that came out of his mouth when he prayed is to praise the name of God. Even though the situation was not good. Even though his fellow brethren were in great distress and reproach. Even though the wall of Jerusalem are burning down. But nevertheless, he knows that he should praise the name of God. So nowadays for you and I, this one word we should use the most in our prayer. That is, hallelujah, praise the Lord, right? Our church, we are known to be the hallelujah church, right? Because we use the word hallelujah so many times. And quite often when I go to different churches, and when I travel, people do not know who I am. So when I come out of the airport, they usually, you know, try to guess who I am, right? Then, of course, they say hallelujah, right? So when they say hallelujah, I also say hallelujah. Then we know we are fellow brethren. But hallelujah is also very powerful. I remember one time I was going to my parents' house on Sunday, right? Sunday is usually Pastor Sunday for my family. So we went there and we stayed there until evening time. And during the time in Boston, it was very cold. It's like, you know, maybe minus 10 or so degrees. It was so cold. So when I came out of the house at nighttime, and I share with you, I love animals, right? So I saw this skinny cat outside. And I look at him, he was so cold, right? So what did I do? I brought the cat into the car with me, right? So we're driving back from, you know, more north of Boston and come back into Boston. But before I reach downtown Boston, I have to go through a bridge. They call it Tobin Bridge, right? I think for those, my niece and stuff, they know the Tobin Bridge in Boston, right? So as I drive on the bridge, there's toll booths there. So, of course, for me, I wasn't thinking because I don't like cats. Actually, a lot of time I don't like cats. The behavior I don't like, right? But, of course, I like animals, right? So when I opened my window to pay for the tolls, then a crazy cat jumped out of the window, right? Of course, it's a lot of traffic. People are driving during that time. So I'm even more crazy. I went out of my car and chased after the cat, right? And as I was chasing after the cat, the state trooper on the bridge came out of his car and chasing after me, right? Why? Because I'm causing a lot of problems on the road. But for me, I didn't think of anything. All I thought was, man, this cat is going to be dead, right? So all of a sudden, the cat was running, right? I was running after the cat. And all of a sudden, he's going to the railing of the bridge. And the cat started to jump over. So the minute I saw him jump over, I said, "Oh God, please no," right? And then guess what happened to the cat? He just got stuck like this. This is the railing of the bridge, right? So it went over and all of a sudden he's stuck like this. And all of a sudden I say, "Hallelujah, hallelujah," right? I went over there. Then he just fell on the railing, right? Then I just grabbed him and brought him back to my car, right? Even though this is very simple, but this shows the power of God, right? So many times when I experience evil spirit, hallelujah is the best word. Do this mean in our lives, if we be able to live a life to glorify the name of God and praise the name of God, this is the power manifest inside of us. This is the second thing, why Nehemiah connected to the source. But the third thing, verse 6, chapter 1, verse 6, Nehemiah. Say, "Please let your ear be attentive and your eyes open, that you may hear the prayer of your servant, which I pray before you now, day and night. For the children of Israel, your servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel, which we have sinned against you. Both my father's house and I have sinned." Verse 7. "We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statute, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses." So after he prays the name of God and how awesome his God is, and then he repented. Why was he able to praise the name of God? Because he knew the reason The Israelites were in that kind of predicament because of their sin. So that's why for us, everything that the church is going through because of you and I. Every time we see our brother and sister weak in faith because of you and I. Why? Because quite often we do not have enough love. And quite often we do not pray enough for them. And quite often because we sin against God. And that's why we go through a difficult situation most of the time. So that's why Nehemiah knew. So before him to connect to the source, he must repent of his sin. And you can see Nehemiah, right? We don't know what kind of sin he's commit. But he said to God, not only I have sinned, also my father's house have sinned. And the chosen people, God, also have sinned. In other words, he's saying to God, all of us have sinned against you. And then he knows his sin. That's in verse 7, right? We have acted very corruptly against you and have not kept the commandments, the statute, nor the ordinances which you commanded your servant Moses. So he knows exactly why the people of God went through all this difficult situation because of their sin. So that's why for us, and hopefully for the last 10 days, right, 12 days, that we already repented from our sin. But repenting is really the best way to make God's face shine upon us again. This is very important. So that's why no matter what we have done, the hope that we always have that we repent toward God. And repenting is the way to show God that we have done wrong. But of course, it's not an easy thing, right? We as human beings, it's so difficult for us to say sorry. One time I was in Sacramento Church, right? And you know, Brother James, his sister is Esther, right? They have two cute little kids, right? One is on the way, right? And the little girl, right? Audrey, right? Little girl Audrey. There will be four servers. Now since she took a toy car, right? And threw at the head of her brother, Zachary, right? And hit him in the head. So and then her mother tell her, you must say sorry to your brother. And guess what she said? Yeah, right? And then she said, you must say sorry to your brother. She said, no, right? And then she said, okay, if you don't say sorry, you got to go time out, right? In the corner. And guess what she did? She walked to the corner for time out instead of saying sorry. For me, when I was observing this, I was so amazed, right? She is so small. I think, what, 1.5 or 2 years old at that time, right? So small. But she's not willing to say sorry to her older brother. And she, for sure, she threw, everybody saw it. She threw the toy car and hit his head, for sure, right? And she knew that too. But she's not willing. So she stand in the corner, right? Of course, she's so little. After 5 minutes, she's like so edgy, right? And then her mother asked her, are you ready to say sorry? And she's like, okay, right? So she went back to say to her brother, right? And she saw her brother say, I'm sorry. Then she just laughed. And her mother say, you didn't mean it. You cannot say sorry like that. And then her mother talked to her again. You must say sorry, you know, mean it inside your heart. And she's still shaking her head, no, right? So even saying sorry, she did not mean it, right? Then after that, after she spoke to her, and then the service died. I don't know what happened after that, right? But little girls like that, right? So we as human beings by nature, it's so difficult to say, I'm sorry, right? So brothers, when you have a wife, right? When she's all mad at you, upset with you, what should you say? I'm sorry. When you say, I'm sorry, everything will be okay, right? But quite often, it's so difficult for us to say this, right? Even though we are wrong, sometimes we must say sorry, right? Why? Because I'm sorry that you are upset, even though I'm right, right? Really, right? Sorry is a really good word to amend our relationship, right? That's what we must do. But let's go to Genesis. Because being sorry is not easy at all for us, right? When we do something wrong, we always try to get away with it, right? Just like my nephew I shared with you, right? When he ate the cookie, right? And he threw in the garbage. And then, of course, he can just say, Uncle, I'm sorry, I didn't finish the cookie, and then I threw it away, right? And then everything would be very simple, but no. Just like my two nieces, right? when they were in high, they're still in high school. But one time, right, they asked me, can we open the window to do some kind of sign project, right? Drop something from the second floor, right? And I told them, the condo that we have is very old. If you try to open the screen, you will break the screen, right? And then in the summertime, you cannot open the window. Why? Because all the flies and all mosquitoes come in, right? And then guess what? One day, I was walking, come out of the garage, and I looked up, and the screen's all broken down, right? Then I went to them, and I say to them, what happened? Like, right? And I tell them, did Uncle told you guys, right, not to try to open the screen, because the screen, they are old, right? Of course, I think they did, 2 days already, but they never say anything, right? So, of course, when I saw that, of course, I got mad and they were grounded, right? Why? Because they tried to hide it, right? So, we're human beings, we are like this, right? Let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Chapter 3. Verse 6. Chapter 3, verse 6. So, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. So we can see that during this time, God gave the only one commandment. That is not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But during this time, because they felt that this tree must give them some kind of wisdom, right? This word is from Satan. So because of this, she saw the tree that was good for food. Every tree in the garden was good for food. And then she saw the tree, right, that's pleasant to the eyes. Every tree inside the garden was pleasant to the eyes. But why they have to eat this tree to disobey God? Why? Because just like us nowadays, what we think when we talk about sin, right? Sometimes we think we as Christians, all we do, right, is read the Bible and pray 24/7. We cannot have any other pleasure, right, in life. Of course not, right? We also must enjoy our life, but there's always a limit. There's always a boundary, what we can do, what we cannot do. Just like Adam and Eve, God gave them so many things, right, that is good for food and pleasant to the eyes. God also gave us many things in this world to enjoy. Just like when you go to Grand Canyon, right? It's so beautiful to behold, right? Just like sometimes when we sit out here to look at the mountain, the clouds, it's so beautiful. But there's also things that God did not want us to look at. So we must be able to understand this. So Adam and Eve partake of the fruit, right? The fruit. And she ate. And she gave her husband also to eat. And then verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. So we can see, right, the first time that mankind sinned, what is the first thing they do? What is the first thing they do when they sin? Yes, they try to cover it up. Even though they knew they sinned against God. Why? Because they knew that they were naked. Naked is representative of shamefulness. But instead of going in front of God, instead of confessing their sin, instead they try to cover it up. So quite often we are like this. If we try to cover our sin, there's no way we can be connected to Source. Because how can we cover up anything in front of the God who can see everything? So it's much better just to let it out. Just to tell God that we make a mistake. And try to cover it up. What do they use to cover it up? Fig leaves, right? And how long can it last? A couple of days? And sooner or later, the fig leaves get dried out. Right? Then you must sow more fig leaves to cover yourself. Right? So in other words, if we try to cover it up by our own ways, there's no way our sin can be forgiven. Our shame always going to come up. So just like for Adam and Eve. If we know we have done something wrong, we just confess in front of God. And allow God to have mercy on us and take the punishment. I always tell my niece, my nephew, when you do something wrong, just tell uncle. What uncle going to kill you? Right? Right? But if they tell me ahead of time, if they have done something wrong, it's so much better. Right? Why? Because For me, I'm just like their father, right? When they do something wrong, they shield me and they say sorry, really. There's not much I can do, really. There's not much I can do. But if they try to hide it and do this and do that and try to cover it, of course, then uncle gets mad, right? So the same thing with God. God knows we only make out of dust. God knows we have so many weaknesses. But don't hide things that we have done wrong in front of God. Yes, we might can hide in front of people because people cannot see what we are doing. But in front of God, we should not hide. We should confess to Him. This is very important. Look at David, right? When he sinned against God. When he first saw Bathsheba bathing, right, on top of the roof. Then he secretly, right, told someone to go and call her. Then he had a sexual relationship with her. So she was conceived. And during his time secretly, he went to get Uriah, right, her husband, and came to the house. Then secretly, he tried to force her to go to the house. But because he's a faithful soldier, right, he's not willing to do that. So secretly, he killed him in the front line, right, by the hand of the enemy. So God told him very clearly, yes, all these things you have done in secret, but I will open them. I will reveal them. So for us, the best thing to do when it comes to sin, when we truly repenting, we must reveal to God and tell God, please, Lord, I have done this wrong. So have mercy on me. And say, I try to hide it. When we hide it, God cannot forgive us. But God always gives us opportunity. Right? Just like in verse 8. Chapter 3, verse 8, Genesis. They heard the sound of the Lord God walk in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the tree of the garden. So when we commit sin against God, but we still be able to hear God and hear His voice, this means it's still hope. Do not be like Adam and Eve. The minute they heard the voice, the sound of God walk in the garden of Eden, then they hid themselves. But of course, God walking in the midst of them. This means there's still hope. God is still with them, just like you and I. Even though we commit sin against God, we are still in church. We are still walking the Garden of Eden. This means there's still hope. But we must continue to repent and don't do the things that we did before. This is true repentance. Of course, the reason we continue to do the things we have done before, because that thing is our weaknesses. But never stop repenting. When we get to the point that we do it in a conscience, we don't feel guilty. This means God already gave us up to give us into a vile passion, right? The sin that we are committing. But do not be like Adam and Eve. When we hear the Son of God walking in the garden, we still experience God in church. This means there's still hope. So we must confess in front of Him. And then, verse 9. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Of course, it's not like God did not know where they were, right? Why did God say this? Because God wanted to give them the opportunity to repent, to come forth and confess what they have done was wrong. Instead, when God said, where are you? And then verse 10. So He said, I heard your voice in the garden and was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. This is what sin do to us. When we come to church and we heard sermon, right? It seems this sermon, everything they talk is all about us. This means God wants us to repent. When we feel we have a guilty conscience when we come to church, listen to the word of God. This means God wants us to repent. Don't run out and continue to sin. This is not repentance. That's why nowadays so many Christians, when they come to speak on a pulpit, they always speak about God's love and God's mercy. This means they want people to feel good. If you come to church, you feel guilty, this means your feeling is not right. Why? Because when you feel guilty, this means maybe God is not love. When you feel guilty, this means maybe you don't come to church anymore. But they don't realize when you feel that kind of guiltiness inside your heart, hopefully that you repent and have good relationship with God again. So, brothers and sisters, do not only repent when you're in YTS. When you're at home, when you're doing things that is not right, you must kneel down and pray and repent every single day. Even for myself as a minister, I also sin against God. Almost every single time I kneel down and pray, the first thing I ask God is that, God, please forgive me for my sin from yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Because I want God's mercy to become upon me. Because I know that I'm weak. There's many things I'm supposed to do, but I don't. So I ask God to forgive me for my sin and ask Him to put upon me His mercy. And then verse 11. And He said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? So we can see, of course, God knew that they ate from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. God did not need to ask them that. But once again, God gave them opportunity to confess and to say that they have done wrong. Just like you and I. How many times God gave us opportunity to repent? But quite often we don't realize it. Quite often we feel, right? Just like, you know, the other day when Pastor Huang shared us with the Q&A question, right? What happened? I know I do something wrong, but my conscience is, you know, it's not, it doesn't feel guilty, right? I said, this means you get to the point that you sin, you don't even know it's a sin. And it is bad. But when we sin against God, just confess in front of Him. Do not be like Adam and Eve, right? And God gave them one more opportunity. Who commanded you that you should, the tree, that you should not eat and you ate? And Adam and Eve should do in that time, God, we made a mistake. We ate from the tree that you told us not to eat, but instead they did not say this. Look at verse 12. Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. Remember, only in chapter 2, when God brought Eve to Adam, He said, bones my bones and flesh my flesh. Now, He blamed on her. Actually, who is the first person He blamed? Who's the first person? Here. Yes, He blamed on God. Quite often, we also do exactly the same thing. God, the reason I sin against you, because you allow this to happen. You allow that to happen. Before, when Adam saw Eve, she was something. Just like the bones of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Now he blamed on God. The reason I sinned because of you. You don't want to give her to me. This is not the way to repent. God never makes a mistake. And we can never blame God for any kind of sin that we commit. It's all ourselves. God told them very clearly not to eat from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. But they choose to eat from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. But why did he blame God to give Eve? So quite often we are like this. When we sin against God, not only we blame Him, we also blame on others. Just like one time there's a person, right, he go to the doctor. I say, doctor, you know, I touch here, it hurts, right? And I touch here, it hurts. And I touch here, it hurts, right? And he asks the doctor, what's wrong with me? And he say, you have a broken finger, right? So quite often we always point at others why we commit sin. But we don't see, we realize we ourselves the one that sin against God, not others. This is very important. Even others, they're in the wrong. And others cause you to sin. But you cannot blame on them. Because we are old enough to know what's right and what's wrong. If something is wrong, we should not do it. As plain as that. Even people try to coerce us, right? And try to deceive us. But we should know what's right and what's wrong. Because God told Adam and Eve they could not eat from the tree of knowledge, good and evil. This means, yes, maybe people try to convince us. Maybe people try to deceive us. But we still know that it's wrong. So, in the world is like this. We know what is right and what is wrong. So when we don't come to church, don't blame on other brothers and sisters. Yes, maybe they say some words that's harsh to you. Maybe they say some words that make you feel bad. But don't blame on them because you don't come to church anymore. Blame on yourself. Just like Adam. Do not blame on God. Do not blame on your wife. Because if you do, this means you are weak and she is. You should be the man, the head of the household. You should know what is right and what is wrong. Because God intended to be this way. You must know exactly what you do is wrong. Right? And then look at Eve. 13. And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this that you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Again, human being. So there's a natural tendency to blame on everybody else for our sin. But we cannot be like this. This is not true repentance. Then of course, then the Lord said to the serpent, who can I blame on? Nobody, right? Has no one else to blame on, right? Because in other words, there's only so many people to blame on. After a while, there's no one else to blame on, right? If there's a church, only 20 people, 25 people, right, in church, who are you going to blame on when you're weak in faith? When are you going to blame on when you don't come to church? Who are you going to blame on when you don't want to pray and read? Nobody. Nobody. Right? So that's why for us, true repentance is acknowledge what we have done. When we know what we have done is wrong in the eyes of God, then we repent. We ask God to forgive us. And that's the only way that we can be connected to the source. If we walk around with sins hanging on our head, there's no way we can be connected to the source. Because God is holy. And those who come to Him and those who worship Him must be holy. So in other words, if we want to be connected to Him, we must repent of our sin. That's the only way. Do not be like Adam and Eve. And on the end, they received the curse from God. Adam received the curse. Eve received the curse. The serpent received the curse. So, we must repent. Without repentance, there's no remission of sin. Without repentance, there's no hope for us to be connected to source. So be like Nehemiah. When he kneeled down and prayed, he prayed with the motivation of love. Even though he has many things to pray for, but he prayed for his fellow brethren. He prayed for the wall of Jerusalem. Be like Nehemiah. The first thing he opened his mouth is to praise God, even though the situation was not good at all. And the second thing he said, that is to repent for his people, for his forefathers, and for himself. No wonder he was connected to source. So let you and I do exactly the same thing. So we can be connected to source. And when we kneel down and pray, God will be able to bless us abundantly. Let us come up and pray together.